Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The so-called bathroom policy is back in court, and Liberty Counsel has filed an amicus brief in defense of the school in Virginia. We'll talk about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, this case is back at the Federal Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia. It's involving the Gloucester County School Board. It's involving a person whose initials is GG, or Gavin Grimm. We all know now Gavin Grimm is the person's name, but Gavin is a girl. And this girl now says that she wants to identify as a boy and therefore use the boys' restroom and whatever else that boys would use, whether it be showers, locker rooms, whatever, to be treated and to be legally considered a boy. The school board said no. The ACLU filed suit. In a 2-1 decision, the Federal Court of Appeals sided with the ACLU and this person. Then it went to the Supreme Court for consideration. The Supreme Court set it aside. They didn't rule on it yet because something happened in the interim, Matt, and that is President Donald Trump overruled President Obama's directive to the schools, in which he said in 2016 that the schools, K through 12, needed to implement a so-called LGBT policy. He had no authority to do so. President Trump set it aside. And with that change, the Supreme Court sent it back down to the court saying, now consider this in light of this change. And that's where we are. The case is now being briefed again. It'll be argued again. And Liberty Counsel filed an amicus brief again.
Yeah, and you'll recall that President Obama, when he issued that directive, and it really was, they say that it was an advisement, but really it was a mandate, and he even threatened to use the power of the purse strings and threatened school districts that did not join in this mass delusion that a boy can be a girl or a girl can be a boy, that they could stand to lose their taxpayer funding. Well, President Trump came and removed that entirely, and certainly, we don't agree with every statement President Trump has made, everything that he has done, but on this issue, on the life issue, on a number of issues, he really is stepping up and following through with his pledges and fulfilling the pledges that he made during the campaign. And in many ways, he is one of the more pro-family presidents that we have had in modern history. And this case is a big one now. So what happens in the court now with this case, Matt?
Well, I don't know. It's at the Court of Appeals again. So it will be back to where it was before. Of course, the previous court issued a 2-1 decision. So we're hoping that one of those two becomes the opposite way, and it becomes 2-1 in favor of the school. It should. The question is Title VII or Title IX that governs these schools, does that include gender identity when it uses the word you can't discriminate on the basis of sex? This was a law that goes back to the 1970s. They didn't think then, and they certainly didn't think now, that it includes this subjective, mental, behavioral change of clothes
Delusion.
Or dye in your hair, and therefore you can change your sex just by
dysphoria.
Thought.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. I mean, that's a simple answer, and therefore the school's in the right. The school can say, boys, this is your bathroom. Girls, this is your bathroom, and you can't change over from one to the next.
You know, in our brief, it was very clear the importance of providing a safe and non-discriminatory environment for all students and recognizing quote-unquote transgender children is threatening the physical and mental and emotional well-being of them as well as all children. You know, we can't continue to enable this gender dysphoria, this confusion, this need for, you know, a deep-seated counseling, that kind of thing that we've now, you know, enabled in this society. We have to address that as well.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt that there are some people that are confused, you know. So
yeah.
We're not saying that there's nothing to people's confusion. There's lots of mental behavioral conflicts that people have and stressors that they have. There are some people that have different kinds of eating disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And they have those eating disorders because in their mind they think they're one thing when they're really not. They think, for example, that they're overweight, and they're really not overweight. There's lots of different kinds of mental issues, so it's not denying that these kinds of confusions or conflicts exist.
But
the problem is, however, is you don't give legal authority to legitimize that as though that is normative and everyone else is the bigot and everyone else is wrong. And that's what this does. To say to this person who is confused about her gender being female and now she wants to identify as male, and then say, well, we're going to legally protect you. So yes, legally you can use the male restroom. Legally you can be called a boy. Your pronouns can be he. That doesn't do this person any good, any more than it would do anybody else any good to normalize a mental behavioral problem. And that's what this is. This is not normative.
And you give a great analogy with anorexia. And this is no different than treating anorexia with liposuction. You don't treat anorexia with liposuction just because a person wrongly believes they're overweight. Well, it does them a horrible disservice if we were to come in and have to all say, yep, you're fat. Let's give you liposuction. This is no different. But doesn't this really hinge? You put all of the emotional arguments to the side. You put the ethical side of things, the moral side of things. Clearly, this young lady should not be entering the showers with boys, and she's biologically female. And doesn't the issue hinge on here? What was the legislative intent?
Yeah, it all goes back
to Title IX, and the courts are restricted. The courts have to look at the legislative intent, the original intent of the language of the legislature. What was in their mind at the time under the definition? And it is a prima facie case of judicial activism when a court puts their own intent on the definition of a term instead of the legislative intent.
Here's what happens. You go back to 1964, which is the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and it has, you can't discriminate on certain categories, including
that's
sex.
Title VII.
That's Title VII, and you can't discriminate on the basis of sex. That's in the area of employment or public accommodations and so forth, but particularly employment. Those are the categories, 1964. You come a little bit closer to our time, 1972. That's Title IX, and that's what governs now public schools. You got those categories like you have in Title VII, can't discriminate on the basis of sex. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, everyone knew back then it meant male-female. We also know that Congress in recent times rejected any efforts to include or amend it to add gender identity. Why? Because Barney Frank led the effort when he was in Congress, and it went on for many years, trying to get the so-called Employment Non-Discrimination Act, the ENDA, as it's called, to amend Title VII, the 1964 Act, to include first sexual orientation, that was rejected, then sexual orientation and gender identity, rejected multiple times. So we know what the legislative intent was back then. We know how it was interpreted. We know Congress multiple times has rejected amending by therefore expanding to include sexual orientation and gender identity. It's pretty clear. Case closed. The same language is in Title IX. The case should be closed. And so that's a very simple resolution. Look at the words. Look at the history. What do they mean? It's very clear. They don't include gender identity. And therefore, the school is certainly permitted to be able to tell boys to use boys and girls to use girls' facilities.
Right. From a human perspective, there's also safety issues. I mean, you don't put a girl into a boy's shower room, and you don't put a boy into a girl's shower room. There's both safety issues at stake here, and that's just not a good idea.
There are issues relative to sexual harassment
Absolutely.
As well. Young girls should not be forced to be exposed to young boys in various states of dress, or men, you know, a PE coach and so forth.
Yeah, no, you have multiple things going on. The legislative intent of the language, very, very clear. If you go down this road and you give legal authority to someone's confusion, you're harming that person. You're frankly trapping them into a problem, normalizing their abnormal behavior. That's number two. And number three, the effects of the others around them, like you're saying, Holly, you intrude on person's privacy and physical safety. It's just complete absurdity. And this wouldn't apply just on using a bathroom. It's also showers and locker rooms and overnight stays at hotel
sports
rooms
events,
when you're off
yeah, all kinds
campus,
of
any kind of thing that's school sponsored. So anyway, go to Liberty Counsel's website. Pray for this case. We filed a brief. You can go there and read it online. We filed it on behalf of Dr. Judith Reisman and the Center for Child Protection Institute, lc.org. Remember, Liberty Counsel, as we continue to fight for religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, marriage and the family, lc.org. Remember, Liberty Counsel, in your prayers and your financial support, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, lc.org.